songs of Zion with the congregation, and then turn around and listen to the good special music. And what a blessing that it is to be able to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking here in the book of John. I was looking just now in the book of Matthew for something that I couldn't find. So in the book of St. John, chapter number 19, you find the place. And if you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse number 1. In chapter number 19, the book of St. John, verse number 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, by our law, that he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. And then Pilate saith unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? No, knowest not that thou, that I have the power to crucify thee, and have the power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you, and we thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee there's none else. Lord, if there's one lost without God in our midst, may you trouble their heart, open their eyes of understanding, and grant them repentance and faith, that they might come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Now bless the word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. There's a passage there, and this will be our text verse over there in the book of Acts. And you'll find there was a man that remembered that God had already told him, Simon Peter, that before the cock crows twice, I shall thrice deny me. Remember that? Let me say to you that, if you will, something happened to him after that. And on the day of Pentecost is that in chapter number 2 in the book of Acts. And the Bible said in verse number 22, he said, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among whom by you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up and loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be holden of him. In the lesson that we're looking at here, back over in John chapter number 19, I want to preach a little while on this subject entitled, By Wicked Hands You've Crucified the Savior. Now, that's pretty bold preaching, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty bold speaking there. Here's a man that's a governor. There's chief priests and scribes and leaders. And there, and just like in the city where we live, I can promise you right now is there's not a whole lot of friends to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll find that there never has been, won't be tomorrow, and no doubt about it, that eternity, that hell will be full of people that have been religious but lost and undone without God. In the lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that these are men, the Bible said, that they had a wicked hand. And the reason being is they've got a wicked heart. And no doubt about it, that whenever you begin to look into this lesson that's here, that in John, in chapter number that we've just read, in the book of St. John, there's a passage over there that we looked at in chapter number 19. And the Bible said that whenever they took him, they mocked him, they made fun of him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head and put the Roman Catholic colors and the scarlet and purple upon him. as a result of that, you're going to find out is that they smote him. They made fun of him. They spit upon him, smote him with the palm of their hand. Sometimes took a reed and smote him. Let me tell you, if you will, please, is that the message that we've read over there in the book of Acts, Simon Peter standing up boldly, that man that had denied him, he now something happened to him. And let me tell you something, there's a difference in preaching with the power of God and just the energy of the flesh. Simon Peter, whenever he finally had the touch of God upon him, and you'll find that he got up and said, "You men are wicked, and you have just crucified a man that's been approved of God." And God raised him again from the dead. Now, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now is that all the governors and all the leaders and all the countries in the places that we're looking at, I'm always saying this, and because people need to be able to get ready to know that. Now you'll find there's people in the world that we're living in, and they're trying to make things like the persecution of Donald Trump is like that of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ wasn't a whoremonger. Now, did I vote for Donald Trump? Sure. Do I think he's the best that we got running right now? I do. Am I sad to be able to say that? Yes. But let me tell you, make no mistake about it, is that I'm not going to not vote for him just because there's a lot of people out there, you know, that are biting. You know what happens to the Republican Party? They most of the time divide themselves to where they're standing around playing checkers and don't know whose turn it is, and while the enemy is organizing and getting ready to go. All this bunch of immigrants that are in. Am I against an immigrant? I'm against them coming in like they've been coming in illegally. I'm against them not being able to recognize and know who they are, what they're doing, so forth and on. I'm going to just tell you something right up front, is that Jesus Christ had no fault in him. In fact, is the governor. His name was Pilate. He could have put a stop to all of that mess, but he didn't. And what Pilate did was, when he examined him, he got under conviction. And rather than getting saved, like most of our leaders need in this country that we're living in, rather than getting saved by the grace of God, he brought him up forth out there and said, "I find no fault in this man." And the Bible said that they began to cry out and said, "He's made himself the Son of the living God." That smote old Pilate's heart, buddy. And he went back in there and he talked to Jesus a little more and he said, "From whence art thou?" In other words, he knew this man that he's talking to is from out of this world. And I guarantee you, we've lost that ideology. We've lost that theology. We've lost that, buddy, even among in the Baptist church. Jesus isn't just somebody that we're going to recognize as a baby in a manger. You know, the average Baptist, and I'm glad I'm a Baptist, and if I wasn't a Baptist, you know what I'd be? Shamed. But I'm ashamed of most Baptists. Do you realize and know that the reason why that they feel the way they feel, it's not hard to find Baptist churches wanting to worship a baby in a manger at Christmas time. They don't want to worship a Lord and Master and a Lord and King that's soon to come again. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that men have wicked hearts. They have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And as a result of that, what wicked men they are. And they've got a wicked heart. You know, the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter number 7 and about verse number 9 that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I guarantee you right now, I had a man tell me one time, you know, he's in heaven right now. He's already in heaven. No, I didn't kill him. Because I'm not in the killing business. But he was a good brother. You'd have liked him. And let me tell you right now is that he made the statement one time to me, and he said, "Well, you know, I guess we just have to follow our own heart." I said, "Well, now, hold on a minute, brother. The Bible said that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" He said, "I scratch that. I don't think we ought to follow our own heart. You better just stick with the Word and stick with this leadership of the Holy Spirit by the Word of the Lord." In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that they came to take the Lord Jesus Christ, and Judas was the ringleader. Remember the traitor, the one that betrayed him? And Judas, they came with lanterns and torches and under the blanket of night, and they went to the place, they knew the place where Jesus resorted and oftentimes prayed with his men. And the Bible said that they took Jesus there and had a band of men, swords and staves. But they walked up to him and they looked at him. They said, he saw him and he said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." Well, I that speaketh unto thee am he, and but they fell down backwards. Now, that had been enough for me to go home and change my drawers. But it wasn't for them. Oh, no, they got back up and just as boldly as they were, and they wanted to be able to. He said, I'm asking you the second time, whom do you seek? And they said, and he said, I've already said, I that speaketh unto thee am he. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson is that they took him. And did you know from the time they arrested him to the time they crucified him, less than 18 hours had passed? I mean, you talk about in a hurry to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you, the world's been in a hurry to get rid of him ever since. They're never going to. I'm going to tell you, he's going to come again one of these days with 10,000s of his saints. And the Bible said that he's going to come again, and make no mistake about it, when he does come, he's going to make all things new and set things straight and set up his kingdom and worship him for 1,000 years. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that here's what ends up happening to the Lord Jesus in the lesson, is that he was sold out for 30 pieces of silver. I want to tell you something, is that if you're not saved here this morning, after all the preaching that you've heard, after all the times that God's knocked on your heart, if you've not yet made it open that you're saved or that you're surrendered or that you're in service with God, if you're not, what in the name of God are you waiting for? What are you selling out for? Somebody said, I'm just so busy trying to make money and grab this, grab that. The Bible asks the question, what would it give from what would it profit a man if he gained the world and he lost his own soul? I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of them billionaires that you and I hear so much about that one of these days are going to die without hope, without God, and they're going to bust hell wide open, not because that Jesus would not save them, but because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In this lesson here that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, that Judas sold him out 30 pieces of silver. That's what he did. It was through a bribe. In other words, he asked those other chief counselors and priests and people that were leaders, and what will you give me if I bring him to you? What will you give me if I betray him to you? He is in it for what he could get out of it. And I'm going to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, I got to tell you, what a sad day that was for him to seal his own doom, because he had no regard for God and the Bible and that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you what Pilate did. Here's what Pilate's doing. Pilate, he goes in there examining, trying to please the people, you know. He's sort of like that nut we've got for a president right now. And you know what happened, don't you, there? They killed three of our servicemen, and over there in, what do they call them, Hootie Doody. They're anything but cutie, so whatever it is. And so you know what he does? He waits a week. And then he goes and talks to the leaders. Look, we need to at least look like we're shooting something back at you besides gummy bears. And so what they're going to do is that after they got everybody moved out of the region, that we're going to be shooting rockets and bombs. You know how much them rockets and bombs cost that we're shooting at them at nothing? I mean by the millions and of dollars, maybe billions for the aircraft and all then we got. I got to say to you that, if you will, there are a lot, like a whole lot of badness that walk down the aisle popping their gum and go through the motions. They bow their head, repeat a prayer, and they have no regard whatsoever for God and the Bible and good, right, moral, and decent. That's why Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I got to tell you, there's a lot of folks preaching in the name of Jesus, and he said, nah, that ain't working. There's a lot of people casting out devils in the name of Jesus, and that ain't going to work. There's a lot of people doing many wonderful works, and Jesus said, after they pointed that out, then Jesus said unto them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, I never knew you. What a sad commentary that'll be on those kind of folks. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, there's Pilate. He's making trips in and out, trying to impress the crowd. And what he does is that he never notices that he's got wicked hands because he's got a wicked heart. And as a result of that, he's looking for an easy way out. And he's saying, well, look, I don't find any fault in him. Why don't you take him and crucify him yourself? I find no fault in this man. If you've not yet come to Christ, could I ask you this as honestly as I know how? What fault have you found in him that you had not come to Christ? See, that's the question. I want to say to you that if you will, Pilate, if you were to read and will not, but if you were to take time, you were to look there in that chapter and you were to read several passages, 19:4, 19:6, I think Luke chapter number 20, about verse number 4, and all so forth and on, he says, I find no fault in him. Pilate willing to release him, according to the book of Luke chapter number 23. Pilate says, I'm going to let him go, Luke 23:22. Pilate sought to release him. And then let me tell you, is that by the time you read over in the book of Acts chapter 3, and you'll find out is that he was determined to let him go, but he didn't. He wanted to be able to do what he possibly could to please all the people and all the folks that were round about him so they wouldn't get in an uproar. I want to say to you as I get ready to close, there's a lot of people that are mentioned here in the Bible. The man who betrayed him and said by his own confession, by his own mouth, though it's too little too late. But in Matthew 27 and verse number 4, here's what Judas said, I've betrayed innocent blood. Now I want to tell you something, he knew he had. Remember Herod over there in the book of Luke 23? He says he's disappointed, but he says, he finds nothing worthy of death in this man, talking about the Lord Jesus. Pilate's wife, he said, have nothing to do with that just man. She knew he was a just man. The dying thief that it was on the cross said, we receive our due reward, but this man had done nothing amiss. And then the Roman centurion, he said, certainly this was a righteous man when he saw him, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And then the company of the centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. I'm going to tell you something, is that make no mistake about it, out of all that ever examined the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, out of all of those that got it together, consorted together, and so forth, and conspired together, they could not find any fault in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you know, every now and again, you'll find when preachers on the face of this earth, they'll get up. I've had preachers one time or sometime or another get so excited. I've probably done it myself. But I've had preachers, I've listened to them, and man, they was preaching and getting hot and sweaty and lathering up, not knocking that at all. But they were so excited, they lost their train of thought, and they'd preach there for about 30, 45 minutes, and they'd go ahead and put Moses on the ark instead of Noah. It was pretty good preaching, just the wrong characters floating on the ark. I told you about that man, you know, that Brother Dawson was telling me, and whenever he said, Jesus said, he that is not with me scattereth abroad, and the old boy got up and he read that, he that is not with me, Jesus said, scratcheth the board. And he said, oh, can you imagine all the pain and the blood and the splinters up in. And man, he preached there for about 35, 40 minutes about scratching a board and people in hell scratching a board with splinters on. Was there any Bible truth to that at all? No. And the altar's filled up. See? I just got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it. The Bible teaches us that if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, the place of darkness where floods of ungodly men are that we learned this morning. And make no mistake about it, you can cry in your destruction, but he'll not hear you then. I want to say to you as we get ready to close here this morning is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he had old Pilate. Remember when you finally read the rest of the story, Pilate takes and goes to washing his hands of the matter. Let me tell you, you can take all the soap and water you want to, but you're never going to wash off that conviction, and you're never going to wash off your sinfulness. And the best way for you to be able to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God is to come as an empty-handed beggar and repent toward God and by faith receive the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you notice that the first Adam and the last Adam's mentioned here in this Bible lesson? We know the first Adam lost it all in the Garden of Eden. And God took sinful Adam and clothed him with coats of skin. Now we've got in view here the last Adam. And let me tell you what about this last Adam. He's sinless. And this sinless one is unclothed by wicked men. I want to ask you this question and we'll be done. Is that when they listened to Pilate, and Pilate in mockery, and he said, "You want me to turn your king over to you?" And they said, "We don't have a king except for Caesar." Well, I got news for you. We've got a lot of supposed kings in the world. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I ask you, is He your king? Is He your king? I remember the day God granted me repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the day that God came knocking on my heart, drawing me by His Spirit. And now you, if you're saved, you remember that as well. If you're not saved, you can be. While we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As our musician comes, as our song director comes, our Father, there's boys and girls and men and women that need something real from the hand and heart of God. I want to say thank you, Lord, that you not only have reached down and snatched us as a brand from the burning and saved our soul from a devil's hell, but not only that, made us fit for heaven. Now I pray your blessings upon the word. And Lord, there may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. There may be somebody say, "Preacher, I'm already saved. I've bowed my head, my heart, and I've trusted Christ, but I've never followed the Lord in baptism." This might be a good time for them to come present themselves. Maybe somebody would say, "Preacher, I don't want to die in the condition I'm in. I just want to lay it on the altar with God. I want to make it known. I surrender all." Father, we ask your blessing now upon this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 124.
If you need to come, you better come and come quickly while we sing.
Just...